Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I give a shit, and boy, oh boy, do we need people who do give a shit lately, huh? Doesn't it suck out there? Crazy. You know, it's really interesting. I just want you guys to know this, that I was really depressed yesterday, and I kept thinking, well, why am I depressed? What's wrong? And I have to tell you, I think that I listen to too much news, but there's something about the migrant children getting, like, taken away, which is just so horrific. And I think that if you're depressed, it's depressing, okay? It's just genuinely depressing. And it actually has crossed a boundary. Like, I think about how long America has never felt like this before. I mean, we've thought about other countries that we can't imagine living in. This country is turning into a country that I could not imagine living in, one of those countries. And also, by the way, I think, like, as a Jew, because we get schooled in, I got schooled in, like, concentration camps and the whole Jew thing when I was in camp, in, you know, a nice girls' camp when I was, like, 12, and they, whatever. I think that it kind of, I hate this word, triggered all that, triggered, like, I think there's just, what I'm saying is there's something that is so wrong about basic humanity and human needs that's going on that I think it's all affecting us. So if you're in a bad mood or something just doesn't feel right, it's this is a good reason. We are it is in our psyche. So I'm pretty cynical a lot of times, but let's honor this, folks. So anyway, thanks a lot for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. This is the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere, because I checked. And I just want to remind you to download our app, okay, so you can carry around Radio Free Brooklyn on your phone. It's like having us in your pocket at all times. Go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/phone. Or /Android, depending on what kind of phone you prefer. So, okay, here's what's going on today. I have Lisa Lent, who is the front woman of Castle Black, which is an amazing band. I'm going to describe it in a second. But anyway, just so you know, I got to get this out. This is really important information. And you're welcome. Castle Black is having an EP release party a week from today. That's a week from today, Thursday, June 28th at The Well, 272 Mesereau Street in Brooklyn. That's Montrose stop on the L if the L's working. It hasn't been doing so well lately, but I think that they know about this Castle Black EP release party, so it probably will be... probably will be doing okay that day. So, but anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about the band and a little bit about Lee. Now, I met Lee just this past February 5th, which is less than, how many months is that now, Lee? I was going to do the math before we got on. So that's February, March, April, May, June, 6 months. Okay. And this is what impressed me about Lee when I met her, besides, like, the music is great. She's the front woman of this band. She writes the music, sings the music, performs the music, organizes the band, organizes the tours, everything. She does everything. And what impressed me about Lee, of course, the music has to be good or we wouldn't even be sitting here. She would not be in the room because she was recommended to come in by the station director. The music director of the station. And but she really has her shit together. And she's like a really kind of sharp businesswoman and a creative person in one. And I think that she really challenged the stereotype that I have of these band people, because She's fucking sharp, man. She could, like, be successful running any business. So I found that besides the fact that her music is really, like, gut felt. It's gut felt. Is that a fair description, Lee?
Thank you.
That's good.
Like that.
Okay, we're working with that then. So I just want to... So she's got this new EP out, and I want her to tell you about it and stuff like that. But just so you know, in plain English, her music is powerful, thunderous, full of hard-hitting jams, but still, like, really, like... And it has a social aspect, emotional aspect. But you know what? It's still fucking entertaining. It's crazy. So... So I want Lee. Hi, Lee Solen. Will you explain your music, the band a little bit, and what's this EP? What your EP is? Your new EP.
So the new EP is The Gods That Adored You, and that's intentionally lowercase. Just FYI, because some sites can't do that, and it's I don't know that it's coming across. Oh, it was a conscious choice.
Interesting.
You know, and using the word that over who, like, I mean, there's just a lot in that title. We divided the EP into two parts. So it's part A is fucked, and part B is adored. Two songs on the first part and three songs on the last part. And they just kind of all come together to make up The Gods That Adored You. And, you know, those first two songs are kind of deal with kind of the more like one perspective and a rougher side of things. And the last three are more with a kind of like an outreach, more mm-hmm. showing that adoration aspect, and they're really loose themes, but that was kind of like in my mind how they kind of made sense. And those last three songs are pretty epic, and they're long, and they're a little weird and stuff. So
it sounds like there's some like tension between the first A part and the B part. Could you explain that? What that is?
Well, I think it's like on a purely sound level, even the sounds are even different. You know, the first two were way more just straightforward rock, really, really raw. They were even mixed by someone different. And then the last three are just kind of, I don't want to use the word softer, but they're more spacious and I mean,
in terms of like the title of the album and like how the title of the album, The Gods That Adored You,
right.
Like how that title relates to the two different tones on the album.
So actually, I mean, the title came from a line in A Cigarette Saved, which is fucked over the gods that adored you. So that's
a
kind
line
of,
you wrote.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of where the part idea came from. Well, the fucked part and the adored part, the gods, did they fuck you over? Did they adore you? And what's the difference between those ideas? You know, is there a difference? And then mm-hmm. what is that perspective? So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of where they came from. And I know it's mm-hmm. like, kind of a lot of description around that, but
so no. So there's some like, so it's kind of like there's forces, or you feel like karma or whatever it is, whatever you guys call this stuff. There's like stuff that kind of like fucks with you, and then there's stuff that kind of pushes you ahead. Is it sort of like that? You mean
you can think of it like that, and you can also think of it of like, or is that total bullshit? You know, because that's how I've presented a lot of even previous albums. It's like, yeah, you could look at it like that, but then maybe I'm really saying that doesn't even make sense. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it is. Maybe everyone creates their own destiny. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of
out there, but it's stuff that you've thought about.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna play. We're gonna get to the first. We're playing three songs because I mostly want to find out what's going on with Lee and like what it's like, you know, developing with her band and all this in her whole life, really. So we're only going to play three songs because also you're coming to the party next Thursday, and you're also going to download the album from her website, Castle Black.
The Castle Black music website will link
Black
to
music.
All the major
next,
sites
next Friday when it's available. But before we do that, I wanted you to go through. Can you just like list what you've done since the last 6 months, February, because it involved more than one tour and recording? Like, just list, tell us a list of all the things that you have done as far as your music goes.
Yeah, because you and I just talked that I guess I was here early February, and that was before the first tour this year. So February was a tour south, a little over a week. And then April was the tour kind of more north, like another similar length.
Two tours.
Yeah, and then we released the video for Broken Bright Star in
video
April.
Video release.
Yeah. Oh, you're better at this.
What else?
You got it down. And then getting ready for the EP release, so finalizing, yeah, going through the whole...
Oh, and then doing a whole new EP.
Actually, we recorded the EP in February.
Recording a new EP. Okay.
Yeah.
So, see, do you see what I'm saying, folks? So she's done two tours, recorded a new EP... released a video, and now she's getting ready for her summer tour.
The summer tour was being planned in during that time
in
too,
the Midwest.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are you doing, huh? And she doesn't have the staff that Beyonce has either. You know that? Okay. So we're gonna play this first song that's called Sierra, and I was talking a little bit with Lee about it beforehand, and Lee, you can tell us in a second, but you were basically thinking about women. You'd read an article about women in Sierra Leone and how fucked over they were by their society and their sexual culture and all that stuff, and it affected you. So do you want to just tell us a little about the song?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what sparked the ideas for the song. I mean, and in just an indirect way, I wanted to name it Sierra, not because it's about that, but that is what made me start to think about just other people and, you know, what other women are going through and really making that separation. Like, it doesn't matter what I've gone through or what someone else has gone through. I mean, or it doesn't matter what I've gone through. I want to draw that line and that wall. Like, this is about reaching out and understanding someone else's pain and seeing how much worse their situation actually is. Mm-hmm. And as women, kind of connecting with that, but it's not, you know, people like to make things about themselves, and it's like, it's almost like my, if I was sexually abused or not, it's not relevant. You know
right,
what I mean? It's like, it's about someone else and their plight and making that statement that I see you, like I hear you, we're living in like parallel worlds.
Well, you were saying that through the last couple of tours, you really started feeling a deep connection that's been developing, your emotional connection with your audience and stuff like that, and you feel like, it sounded like you were thinking that like you are really getting a chance to communicate to other people, and you have messages that concern like all of humanity really basically, that you feel like you have maybe a bit of a platform to express, or there's that feeling where you can put out a message that other people are going to receive.
I think so. I mean, I think like, we've just gotten so much great feedback recently, like especially because we're playing so much out of town, and you know, people just connecting with the emotion. That's the feedback we're getting. Like, we hear this emotion on stage, and we had to come in and hear it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not about it being perfect. It's about it being real, and mm-hmm. about it expressing a real emotion that people mm-hmm. can connect with.
And you can probably sense that from just being on stage and like feeling the audience, like any performer. Like
right.
like even people like that do like crazy wacky shit like me. There's always a connection. That's the whole thing about performing. It's always the connection with the audience, right? So here we go. Sierra. Yeah. Supposed to work. Okay.
Can I say a word about it while you do that?
Why I fool around here?
This whole next week, it's been going on for a week already, but if you buy the single Sierra, it's already released. If you buy that single on Bandcamp until June 29th, all proceeds go to No Means No.
Another land.
Yeah. All right. Wow. That's awesome. That's a really power. I think that is a really powerful song. I really do.
Thank you.
And so do those people there in their basements or in front of their computers. They're thinking the same thing. I know it because I can feel their energy through the microphone. Anyway, so this is like a really exciting time in your life, I'm guessing. Is it? Does it feel exciting? It would to me if I was going to have an EP released next week. Is it exciting?
It is. I mean, it feels busy, but like honestly, I usually get really depressed after the release because there's all this stuff that goes into it and all this work. And then, you know, you're like, are you disappointed in the turnout at the show? Or are you disappointed no one cares about it anymore? Did anyone listen to it? Did your friends even listen to it? You know, let alone anyone new. So it does become a really depressing time after you put your entire like self into it. But you're too busy before to think about it.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's common. I definitely have that when I have a solo show or something, like the rare time. But yeah, I have had them and I know that feeling. So how are you feeling? Like you're going on a tour after this. So how are you going to get depressed? You're already going to be on a tour.
That's true. That's probably why I set it up that way. So
yeah.
Based on past experience, now there's going to be a tour after every release.
So, well,
yeah, plus we want to promote the album on that tour anyway.
So your tour is pretty much an emotional defense against feeling bad about you know, having the album finished and out. That's good. It's a lot of work. But
that's how I deal with breakups too. I just get really busy.
Yeah, well, hey, it's at least it's productive. So anyway, I'm excited for you, and I'm sure it's going to be great. I have no doubt about that. And I was just wondering, so like, what do you imagine, like, when you were starting the album? The album's finished now, right?
Yeah, it's just waiting.
So how, like, what was the journey? Like, what do you think happened? Like, what you imagine putting out, and like, where it is now? Where did you, how did you develop? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Of the album?
Yeah, like that's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey putting out an album, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I guess it's just like the way I do it is kind of like, I don't know. You just have these songs that are like strong in your head and they come together and form an album. Actually, my drummer has wrote a song on this album, the second song, River. And, you know, so that when we were talking about it and I kind of heard how it sounded, I was like, oh, that fits in perfectly with themes and everything. And so it's like that. It's like, I don't know, everything strongly comes together. And then those are the songs that get worked on. And then, yeah.
But like, I always say your work is your children. Like, do you have, like, when you first birth your kids, you know, like when you're writing the songs and working on music, like, do you have a vision of how it's going to go? And like, did the vision get changed or what did you learn from doing this?
I don't know, because like, I really, it's like you hear the song and that's kind of how it is. And some things are a little different when you start going through the process. And we worked with some really great people on getting the sounds that we wanted.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Yeah, tell me about the cool dude that helped mix she got the word of mouth. She got a guy that worked with Bowie to like do the mix or something. Tell us.
Yeah, so Mark mixed all of part.
Mark who?
Mark Plotty is his name. And he did a lot of work with Bowie and a lot of other people. But he's really connected to the indie world and, you know, wants to work with indie bands. And he mixed part B of the album. And it's just, his work is amazing. I mean, he's been doing it forever and he's just, I mean, excellent at what he does. And he was perfect for those songs and for, you know, kind of how I described the feel of part B before. You can hear it on those songs, just what he brought to it.
So were you there? You're there when he mixes them, right?
Yeah, which is really cool. Because in all my other experiences, that just doesn't happen. And
what do you mean?
Like, you just don't. You give them comments over, after you record.
Oh, you're not generally in the studio?
No, some people do it that way, but I've never had someone who's wanted to do it that way. So, and I've always wanted to be there, you know, because I think it's easier to get your feedback across.
Yeah.
And with Mark, it's interesting because it's not like he needs a lot of feedback. But yet he's the one who, you know, wants you there. So it's kind of cool because he's just amazing. Like, he's humble and he's so talented and you're just in awe being in his presence. And
what did you learn from watching him? Like, what was that like? Was it like, did you feel that you were able to communicate with him because you were there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he was more confident. That probably helps, right?
Yeah. I mean, I learned a lot of like really interesting technical stuff, and he'd A and B things for me, and so I'd hear the difference, and it was just really, really cool. I mean, he's really, I can't say enough about
him. And it must make you feel like good about your work that somebody who, with that kind of experience.
Absolutely.
Even giving
us the time of day. Yes.
Yeah. So how much of the time of making an album, how much of that involves being working with your band?
I mean, a good deal, especially like the months leading up to it. It's, you know, all we did. I mean, maybe on this album, it's the least number of songs that we had played live before we recorded. So we would just do those songs.
So how does
weeks
the,
before.
So you, but you kind of work on it on your own in the beginning, right? You have a vision of it?
Yeah, usually I'll bring a song to the band when it's on. I can play it and sing it on guitar and I have the structure. And then see what ideas come up.
So you have a vision of it and then the band kind of, you guys make it happen, to flesh it out,
yeah,
make it real together.
Yeah, for sure.
So how much like does the relationship with the band count? Like a lot?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like
a lot. Yeah.
So how has that, you've been working with most of the same musicians over the last year or two?
We've actually had a lot of changes. So, I mean, yeah, so Matt didn't record on the last album. He was gone for a couple months. So this was the first time I'd worked with Matt in the recording studio again, you know, for a couple years. So it was really interesting to see like how much he had changed and, you know, even for him seeing how much I have changed, because we didn't record Trapped Under All You Know together. That was a different drummer. So that was really cool. And yeah, it's just like every time you go, we worked with a different recording place as well. So behind the curtains and, mm-hmm. you know, Mike there was great. So it's like, I just felt like everything's been a step, you know, it's been a step up. So we just, mm-hmm. you're always learning so much from that process.
Right. So does that feel like you're developing, like, I mean, when you're fronting a band, you're managing a band.
Yeah.
Right.
You're managing.
Like, I mean, these people are working for you. Let's be clear, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like you know, like, and that's why you're in that role. That's why you're in the role of leading the band. It's because you know what kind of needs to happen, and
you have the vision.
Yeah.
And you have a vision you need to get done, and you need to work with those personalities and stuff. So what's developed as for you as far as leading a band, like that role? And your relationships with your musicians, like what's developed there?
I hope I've gotten better at it. But you know, like I think, so Lisa left the band in February. So
that was your bass player,
yeah.
Lisa, her name was.
And I think for me and Matt, it really, you know, it just really solidified our relationship, because mm-hmm. then we're like, you know, here we are and we're gonna make this happen. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky because we already had someone playing backup for shows that she couldn't make up until that point, a really good friend of mine and an amazing bassist, Susan. And Susan really changed the dynamic of our stage performance. And I can't thank her enough for that, because
that's so interesting.
Yeah, her energy is amazing. You should really come to a show to see her, because she's a fantastic bass player and has an amazing stage presence. So that kind of just really, you know, just working with different people, because I had Lisa as a bassist for so long. So I was used to her style and her, you know, everything about her. And, you know, so with Susan, it's just trying to, you know, you're dealing with a new person and you're playing with a new person.
So there's growth in that too.
Yeah, for sure.
So does that make you feel more confident? Or, I mean, not that you're not confident, because I've seen you on stage. I mean, I don't know what people feel when they're, you know, letting everything out on stage. Like, everybody feels differently on the inside. So,
right.
I mean, obviously you project 100%, you know, build all confidence. But how does it make you feel? Like, how does it feel differently having somebody? Some people would feel like, is it, you know, it could be threatening. I might be threatened.
No, it's really inspiring, because I think it's just, you have to match the energy that's there. And that's, so Matt and I both felt like that with Susan. It's like, you have mm-hmm. to match the energy that's there, the highest, you know, the highest one that's there. And it's just, we just have really good chemistry, the three of us together. And we're a friend. I mean, Matt knew her as well, so it wasn't someone random. And people just really respond to kind of the energy of the show now in a way that's just different.
So it sounds like you guys feel a little tighter.
Well, the tour stuff, I mean, you know, we already played a lot, but like, yeah, once when you're on the road together and you're playing every night for,
no,
you know,
I mean tighter musically.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because of that, because of playing every night together on a tour, you just come back.
Yeah, so what's that like? Have you guys toured together before?
Well, now that was not, I mean, we've been away together, like, but those were the longest stretches we've done.
That's intense.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to be on a bus? No. A car?
It's like a SUV.
A private plane? Is it a private plane?
We got a minivan. We got a minivan on one of them, which is minivan is the way to go.
Yeah. Sure. So do you guys stay in hotels?
No, I mean it's, you really kind of base it on like sometimes people offer you a place to stay. Other times you get a cheap Airbnb. It kind of depends.
Do you get your own room? Share? Does Matt have to sleep in the same room with you guys?
So Matt does.
Have you seen Matt in his underwear?
I don't think so.
No.
Matt sometimes takes his shirt off in the practice space because it's really hot. But you know, Matt's like our brother. So yeah.
No, I know.
Cool.
I know.
Susan and I have to share a bed half the time because they're, you know, it's
that's way,
it's cool.
That's the way it rolls.
But they're both, that's what I mean. Like, so it's like everyone is really chill. So it's like you've got that aspect of it too. Like you've got to be able to stay in a car together and then be in those weird lodging situations
together. Do you guys share the driving?
Matt and I do. Uh-huh. Yeah, Susan's been in the back.
So do you guys get on each other's nerves? I'd got to know.
I mean, you're spending time with people. So you, you know, it just depends on what kind of mood you're in too. Like there's like space in the car to go in your own world. Like people just put on their headphones and zone out if you just don't want to like deal with something.
People get on my nerves. That's what I would personally be worrying about.
Right. But that's why you have to be with people that like,
do you guys keep it mostly business or do you talk about, like, do you really, really get to know each other or do you keep like walls up where you don't talk about your personal lives so much?
No, we do. I mean, we're all friends because we were friends before.
So there's no boundaries.
I mean, there's some probably, but there's, you know, it's about the friendship too. You know?
It sounds like fun. We're going to do a station ID and then we're going to play another song for you, another treat. And anyway, I just want to remind you that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn and to say thanks for tuning in to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I also want to remind you that if you have anything you would like to share with me or say to me or let me know or contact me, I'm at Dr. Dr. Lisa Levy, SP, that stands for self-proclaimed psychotherapist, that is. On Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on Facebook. So, like, reach out if you have anything you want to tell me or a question, or maybe, you know, God knows what you have on your brain. I think it's time to play a second song. So the next song we're going to play is called Cigarette Saved, and we're playing the dirty version. Do you know what curse word is in here? Is it fuck?
It is fuck. Yeah,
word
it's
fuck
in the past tense. Yeah,
but you have it recorded both ways. But we're gonna play the dirt, the one with the word fucked. So tell us a little bit about this song. Like, you know, what you're thinking about, what you were thinking about. What is there any kind of, what's the story? What the fuck is this song about? What's the deal with this?
I'll say one thing. My previous bassist, when we were working on this song, I mean, she described it as the saddest song that I've ever written, which is, I said to her, I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with you. Even though it's funny because the choruses are so like almost, you know, poppy in ways, and they're very, you know, they're very happy sounding. But the verses aren't, you know, it's like super moody and whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of how she described it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that. Now, do you smoke cigarettes? Yes.
No, I don't.
So
no.
A cigarette saved. I'm really literal, but is it literally about a cigarette? Is there a concept of a cigarette, somebody else's cigarette, or
the concept is like someone was given a gift of cigarettes and there was like one saved from the pack because that was the most beautiful gift that person had received, you know.
Whoa. Okay. I like it. It sounds a little dark.
And just like I've not
you have occasionally smoked?
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to like, that's, people know me. So like, but I don't, I'm not. Yeah,
no, no, not a real smoker.
No, I don't anymore. But like, I had at various points. So during the point in this, yeah, but this story, yeah, that was, you know.
So you relate to the cigarette in your own way too. Okay. Here we go. The cigarette saved. Thank you. Whoa. I think that's fabulous. I love that song. Love that song. I wanted to get up and dance. I did, but it's too stupid. And the I would feel silly. I was too inhibited.
I would not have judged you.
I know. It's all on me. anyway, I really, really enjoyed that. So, you know what? I think it's time to play High Point, Low Point. So she's looking at me like, uh-oh.
I don't know if I agree to that
Lee,
game.
Lee didn't agree to this. She's giving me this. What? So a lot has happened. You have been extremely active since the last 6 months. So I want to have a low point. What was the low point? What was the high point? I think it's fair. What do you say?
I don't know that I can answer it.
All right, well, think about it. So let's do the low point first. What was the low point, and then we'll end on the high point?
Of the last 6 months?
Yeah, think about it for a second.
There's always, there's like low points, high points.
What was the hardest part that you went through? Was it creating the music? Was it organizing the tour? Was it working with the people? Was it a family thing, maybe? Was it something happened in your apartment? See, we're free associating.
Yeah, I know, I get it.
We're free. I'm helping. I'm filling the dead air while you're free associating.
right.
Maybe we'll play another song.
I have to say something or this is going to go on forever. No, I think it's like you have all these great things happening in your life or in music and stuff. And, and then you try to maybe you think you meet someone that you can date, right? But it doesn't work out. So, I mean, there's that stuff. Or even things ending like that. Those things affect me kind of more than, other stuff, I guess. So but even the relationship with Lisa, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that ended too. So that's, everything changes. I used to spend all this time with her, and now there's a new person,
Was that a tough trend? Did emotionally, even though you're obviously really happy with the results from where you are right now with your new bass player, but was that a tough transition emotionally?
It's just different, it's and then you're just, again, it's just more words, more work for you.
I don't hear any fear from you about your, and you never seem anxious about making your music.
I mean, I think just because the only thing I know and the only thing I've known is that is the one thing that has to go on. So there's going to be, you're going to find a way around it. It's you're going
wow,
to keep it going.
That's really awesome. That is powerful to hear that. That sounds really good. And so the high point seems like it would be hard to choose. So what is the thing that you found was the biggest thrill or reward?
We had some really good shows. I mean, that really stand out from some of those tours. I think it's maybe just the connection I've felt over the last 6 months at certain places with audience people coming up afterwards and saying things that really, really make me realize they like it and they connect with it.
So you would say that your emotion, the quality or the intensity of your emotional, emotional connection with your audience has grown? Is that what's
exciting? Yeah, I guess I've seen it. I've heard it now.
I've heard it because people say it. What do they say? Tell us.
There was a show in Norfolk and there was someone who was talking to me afterwards, and it was just, he wasn't really, he was in the other room when we were playing, we first started, and then he's just I had to come in because I heard all this emotion, and I just had to come in and hear it, and he just really loved that, being able to connect with that. There's people who just listened to it before and are I just really felt this emotional connection to the topics or whatever, and then they come to the show. So it's it's really cool to see that and hear that.
Knowing that they've been listening to your music and then they want to see you live.
Right, because that's something
that's pretty cool.
Don't hear off, because New York is still, we're still trying to make it work here. New York is still a tough market for us. So, we have a decent turnout, but it's still New York is
I mean
hard.
In a smaller town it's for any of us it's easier to get noticed, or
they appreciate it more
right,
because there aren't as many options,
right?
And it's wow, thank you for coming through our town, and that's
wow, Wow.
Really important.
That is,
you know,
so cool. And it makes so much sense. You know, we do lose our perspective here because this is an oversaturated cultural arena. Let's not forget that. So you also said that I was, it would be okay, I could ask you about your personal life. You did. You didn't say anything that was okay about the high point, low point, but you did say I could ask you about it. So you did, because you were single the last time. This woman is so fabulous, folks. It's hard to believe that she's single, but maybe a little intimidating. I don't know. A successful woman, a successful, gorgeous woman, maybe. But last time you were single, and here you are, you're single again. And we decided you were bisexual last time?
No, I mean, I think I just believe in a spectrum. Like, I've always dated men.
But you've always dated men.
I just believe in a spectrum of sexuality.
Okay, and
I'm more to, like, one end of it, but then, like, I'm not, it just hasn't been my...
I thought of you as dating men, but then I thought maybe you had said that you were bisexual. You never know these days. Everybody's fucking bisexual.
And I just see the whole thing as a spectrum.
It is a spectrum, but mostly men. So you're single, but did you date anybody? But tell us, like, what happened in the last 6 months. You dated somebody, right? Did you just date one person, or what happened?
No, I mean, I think I just, I, no, I mean, I wouldn't say, I mean, dating's like,
yeah, dating's
kind of a specific,
like, hey,
thing. But yeah, I mean, I got to know someone, you know, like, so, very well, and there was definitely like a
chemistry
thing there. But you know, people are different the way they handle things. And I think, like, for me, yeah, I'm really busy, and I'm music is everything to me, but so are personal connections. And we just weren't, you know, at the same space for that. And then some people aren't, like, it's just where people are at, you know.
So do you think, like, it was timing, in a sense that, like, you were busier than he was, or he just wanted more of a relationship, or
no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think I am able to, like, prioritize a lot of things at once, and, like, I'm going to prioritize someone I'm dating. Mm-hmm. That's just, like, what I do. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people aren't mm-hmm. capable of doing that. It doesn't mean they're bad people.
Was he not,
you know,
doing that, or?
I don't even know that it was allowed to get to that point. So I think, like, you know, like, I think you get to know someone, and then then all of a sudden you don't, and you're like, it's just kind of a weird
okay,
thing.
Just to clarify, it sounded like you had a thing with a man, a musician, I'm guessing.
Maybe. Music person? I don't know.
Maybe. You do know. All right. Well, we won't go that far. So a music person, because she's saying she won't. So it's probably, but it doesn't matter anyway. Look how smug I am. But the point is how come it didn't work out? So, I mean, just to clarify, was that a decision, or did you make a decision, or was there a reason, or was there a reason that you don't want to say, or
I just think it's too complicated. Yeah, and I just think it's, like, sometimes it just comes down to, like, even when you can't get answers or you don't understand something, you can't control other people, you know. And that's,
well, I'm saying I don't understand you.
Is that coming from that
you didn't understand him, what was going on with him?
I don't even know if I understand what's going on with myself, really. You know, there's just so many variables that kind of come into it. But I think at the end of the day, like, the biggest thing is you can't control other people. And I've always struggled with that idea. And I think, you know, maybe like, I needed to learn it again, that, you know, it's not always about you, and it's not always about you being able to reach another person. They have to also want something as well.
They have to be open to being reached.
Yeah,
for
sure.
Does controlling people, does that come up as an issue for you? Because as a band leader, that seems like that would be a real, you know, you must have some talent. You're obviously making people, helping them to develop themselves, but you know, there is a certain, come on, you're leading a band. There's a controlling of other people. It's, you know,
it's more about expectations, I think. And I think just finding people who care about your values and care about the music and care about being the best they can be. So it's really about expectations, as opposed to, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, I don't want to control anyone. I just want people to, like, yeah, like, do their
best. So that sounds like a really healthy version. It's, I like that. I'm gonna live by that. I'm gonna take that on, because having expectations of people is just that people want to do what you guys are all heading. That person wants to head in the same direction that you're going of their own volition. Whereas controlling people is putting demands on people and getting them to do things they may be ambivalent about.
Yeah, I just want, you know, everyone should want to be there, and that's how it is for us. So, I mean, I think, and people say, oh, you shouldn't have expectations, right? Like, I get where that comes from, and I get the concept, but also, well, why aren't we holding people to a higher standard? Why are we not holding people to a higher standard? Well, just for everything, not for music, but for socially, for being a moral, decent human being. Like, I don't care. And I don't care if that's alienating, like, then alienate yourself from me, right? Because I do have, like, certain things I really believe in and believe there's a certain way to treat people, you know?
And you want to live your life that way. And if you have that expectation for yourself, and you obviously do have high expectations for yourself, then you can have people like that around you if you have that expectation,
right,
for yourself.
And I fuck up all the time, you know. It's like, it's just a journey for everyone. But like, I just, you know, it's about, where's your heart, and can you connect with another person? Can you get off the phone for 5 seconds? I've implemented a new Facebook rule. Like, I had to get off of it, but I need it for band purposes. So 3 time points a day, which is still a lot, but it was driving me crazy. It's kind of how you started the show. Like, it was like upsetting, and not, you know, for social reasons, for personal reasons. It was just upsetting, and I'm like, I can't keep, like, every time I'm out, it was addicting. I was addicted. So now,
really,
it's just because you just want to see, you're just checking on something that someone write back to you, and it's just, it was really toxic. So now I need it for the band stuff. You cannot really operate without it. So I have 3 set time points, and it's made me so much happier. I mean,
oh my god, look at that burden. Discipline. But you needed, like, the feedback from Facebook. From people, look at this. This is amazing.
No, not the feedback. Just that, like, there were certain people, like, I communicated with on there. So, like, then I was always on there for that. Or, you just get caught up in it. And you'd be like, well, what just happened? I mean, I would use it for news, you know? It just was like, it was too much.
So, it's like a hole that opens and sucks you in, and then you're an hour could be gone, right?
People make the stupidest comments, and it's not productive. So everything you use it for now, I want it to be productive, because it is a really great tool for, I mean, I've booked so many of our shows because of certain groups, you know, musical groups I'm a part of. So I'm trying to just be in that piece. There's certain people who only communicate with me through that method. So yeah, that's fine. But the people who know me and need to get in touch with me will text me.
Right, because it's a tool. Facebook is a tool. I agree. And I'm always about, with all that stuff, like, it's always better to create the content than consume the content. Create, don't consume.
Right. Yeah, we need someone to consume, but yeah.
Well,
I suppose.
I mean, whatever. Create, don't consume. I'm writing this down right now because I'm going to, like, write that. I'm going to hang up a post-it when I get home. I think I need to do that.
New t-shirt, because you make those inspirational t-shirts.
Yes, yeah, maybe a t-shirt. Who knows? So what else has been going on? Like, how have the people, like, how's your family reacting to, like, your friends and your family about your new EP? This must be a pretty big event for you, no?
I mean, no one really treats it like a wedding, but I mean, yeah. No one's really heard it yet. You know, it's still
nervous about that? I mean, or anxious, or like anticipating how people are going to, do you feel like you know how people are going to receive it, or is that something you've been thinking about?
I think it's like with anything. Some people are going to like it, some people will hate it, you know, but it's about who connects with it. People who've heard it already, have heard other stuff, who've liked other stuff, I've gotten great feedback about it. I mean, I think they're really strong songs. And, you know, we really like the way they came out sonically. So I think, you know, it just kind of depends if it's your type of stuff.
So we were talking a little bit earlier, like how this is like the next step from the last EP. So how can you put that in context? Like, is it because of, like, the band is tighter, or the person that, you know, the production of it, or the way that you, I mean, in your live shows, you're obviously connecting with people more. We're hearing that loud and clear. But have you connected with yourself more deeply, or what's different about what this album is? Progress. It has to be, because it's the next in line. It's the thing you made after the last thing. So I just want to hear a little about the progress.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's different in a lot of ways. And I mean, we, yeah, for sure. It's produced better. It was recorded. I like the recording on it. The mixes are great. I mean, and even just, you know, leading up to the actual recording, I had a better idea of things I wanted to change before we got to the studio. So like a certain, like, whatever, just, you know, Matt, can you hit that there? Or, you know, Lisa, can you add this? And then could I sing something different? You know what I mean? So I knew we're doing all that up to the time that we're recording. And that just, it was way improved over the last time. So we were very prepared going in there.
Well, I'm very excited about this. I think, you know, I'm impressed with your progress in the last 6 months, and I have the feeling that you'll probably come back in 6 months from now. We'll have the next EP party to talk about. I hope so. Do you think so? Are you thinking about that already?
I'm writing. I mean, yeah, I'm writing stuff right now.
You are writing stuff that this woman is about. Okay, so I just want to remind you, we're going to play this last song called Linen. Do you want to describe that a little bit, or tell us what that's about, where that came from?
Linen, I mean, it's the last song on the album, and it's the longest song, and it's very epic, and it's just the way it's presented and the parts and stuff. I mean, it reminds me a lot of Premonition, which is off of Losing Forever, in the sense that it's told as a story. The lyrics flow as a story as opposed to random thoughts. So I like that about it, because it has that kind of vibe to it, which Premonition had as well. They're unique in that sense, but
cool. And I want to remind you guys to come to the EP release party for Castle Black Thursday, June 28th at 8 p.m. The Well, 272 Mesereau Street, and that's the L train to Montrose. And it's posted on my Facebook page, and I will post it again.
And don't come for us either. I mean, come for the other bands, because they're actually really, really amazing. We're playing with I Am the Polish Army, Quick Hundo, and Blood of Your Hands, and they're all friends of ours, and they're amazing, amazing bands.
Yeah. And stay tuned after this, because right after this show, we're going to have Alan Danziger, my pal, and he does this really fun show, which is talk and music, called Lost and Rewound, and it's really, really great. So we are going to say have a great afternoon with Here's Linen by Castle Black.